With me today to help figure all this out is Michael Pollan, the garden philosopher and author of the best-selling book, Botany of Desire. Michael, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
You've been gardening almost your entire life. How did you get started so young?
My first garden was when I was 4 years old.
Vegetables?
A particular fruit, one watermelon, in fact. You know, like all kids, you have the seeds of these fruits, like peaches or watermelon, whatever, and you've been told that they turn into plants, but you don't really believe it. And I remember spitting out these watermelon seeds in the backyard of my house, behind a hedge of forsythia and lilacs, this kind of little secret area where I used to hang out with my sisters and friends. And kind of kicking a little dirt over them and going away and coming back in August or September and finding, lo and behold, this giant watermelon. Or it seemed giant to me when I was 4 years old.
How thrilling.
It was absolutely thrilling. It was a great thrill. And I remember this moment more vividly than anything else from that age. Picked this thing up, you know, tore the little stem off, and went tearing into the house to show my mother this thing. And tripped on the back steps where we had a concrete patio, and the watermelon squirted out of my arms, went flying, and landed in this pink explosion. And but it wasn't that heartbreaking. I mean, really. I mean, I was still so excited that
That is the first scene in the biopic of Michael Pollan's life, I guess. That's
it
great.
Is. In fact, it's the first scene in Second Nature, my first book. So that got me started. I mean, that is when I made that connection between what I could do in a seed and getting something of value out of the earth, and I've never lost that feeling. I mean, I'm still amazed when I actually get a tomato out of the garden.
And your whole book is about in a way that even I could understand about genetics and the genetics of plants. And speaking of genetics, your grandfather was a great gardener as well, I understand.
Yeah, he was my first influence. I think gardening is one of these generation-skipping things. You don't really learn from your parents because they try to make you weed, and that'll turn you off gardening forever. But your grandparents don't ask of anything of you except help me harvest or, you know, hang out with me here. And my grandfather was a Russian immigrant who lived on Long Island, and he had a beautiful garden by the water in Babylon. And grew this completely unreasonable amount of produce. I mean, it was like a farm stand. It was just him and his wife. And he would pile all the stuff in the back of his Cadillac. And he was a landlord. He had all these stores that he had built. And he kind of played the rube, you know, handing out tomatoes to his tenants. And really got off on giving away stuff, which is one of the great pleasures of gardening, is giving away flowers and fruits and vegetables and say, here, I grew this. Do you want it? And he and I had very different, we sort of came to blows over gardening. I mean, well, not to blows, but he had very different kind of philosophy. And there was very little we could agree on. I was a kind of aspiring hippie, you know, even from age 12 or 13, and wore my hair long and had a little leather bracelet. And he was, you know, hippies were the worst. It was the worst thing you could say about anybody. I would call him an hippie, as he pronounced it. And but on the garden, we could agree. And until he saw my garden, and I had made a garden that was kind of an imitation of his behind my house, right along the foundation on this Long Island suburban tract house. And I didn't plant in rows. I had this kind of Rousseau-esque free-form idea. I just throw everything in and no particular rows.
An hippie garden.
An hippie garden, exactly. It was a good hippie garden. And I was very proud of it, though. I had tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and watermelons. And he came, and I couldn't wait to show it to him. And he came over, which he rarely did because he didn't get along very well with my father. And when he saw it, he just said, well, this isn't a garden. This is a weed patch. And he got down on his knees and he started furiously pulling weeds. And it was just a humiliating moment.
That's another scene from the Michael Pollan biopic.
It's big. So, you know, but I put away my hoe for a while, you know, through college and your 20s. I mean, that's a time of mobility rather than settling down. And gardening is about settling in a place. And didn't really pick it up again till my 30s when we bought a weekend house in Northwest Connecticut in Cornwall. And I now had a piece of land and sort of got back in touch with that desire and very quickly realized at that point I was doing a little bit of writing and a lot of thinking about things. And realized very quickly after another crisis, another scene from the biopic, that the garden was a very interesting place, much more interesting than I had any idea or had been prepared for by anything I'd read. It is writ small, our whole relationship with nature, and there's a lot to be seen there. And I all of a sudden saw in front of me all this open ground as a writer, because everyone else who writes about nature in this country goes to the wilderness. They really like to go to the woods. And this goes back to Thoreau, really. I mean, I think Thoreau set the trajectory.
And all those Hudson River School painters.
And the painters as well. And that meaning and the meaning of nature and our relationship to it and the divinity in nature was all to be found in untouched land. And, you know, Thoreau gardened very briefly at Walden. He had this bean field. And it drove him nuts. He couldn't stand the idea he had to make distinctions between his beans and those weeds, or his desire to eat these beans and the woodchuck's desire to get those beans. And then all of a sudden he felt he was at war and making what he called insidious distinctions. And he finally threw up his hands and said, I'm going to leave this for the birds. They can eat the beans. I don't care. I'd rather live hard by the nearest swamp than the most beautiful garden. And with that declaration, the garden was really written out of American culture in a lot of ways.